Well, it's been a long week. We went to church, we talked about car insurance, we boned up on our Civil War knowledge, hopefully. So as we do every Friday, it is time to sit down with a group of smart people, kick back, unwind, relax, think about what the heck happened this week. It's time for the break room.
Red, you go. Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
I see a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening.
Dude, really? I tell him he's manspreading, but I don't want to wake him up.
Okay, joining us in the break room, Tamika DePriest is Senior Director of Marketing at Emory University. Greg Williams, host of the conservative radio show Greg's List. Hector Fernandez is a professor at Georgia State University. And Sumaya Khalifa is Executive Director of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta. Happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
TGIF.
You've survived another one. All right. Well, let's talk about your dinner plan, shall we? Some people risk a lot for the taste of tuna.
The ocean, a harsh and unpredictable mistress, mysterious and deadly. But for some, it is a way of life, the only life they know. Year after year, these hardy souls brave the seas in a tiny boat to bring back one of the ocean's most sought-after treasures, the bluefin tuna.
Well, I guess here, if you turn that tuna into sushi, everyone's okay with it. But if it's tuna fish salad, no. A new survey identified the thing every state hates the most, and in Georgia, it's tuna salad.
Oh, yep. No.
Why? Yep.
Well, I mean, you know, here we like fried chicken in our salad. We don't want tuna, right? You get the fried chicken salad or the chef salad or something with meat, not fish in it. I can see
but
that.
But fish and, is meat.
Well, not really. The vegans will sometimes say, you know what? I don't eat anything, but I'll sneak a fish in every now and then. So if it's on vegan menus even from time to time, it's not a real meat.
I don't know.
I can't live without my tuna salad. I'm so sorry. I was just devastated when I read that.
You're not from Georgia, are you?
Well, I'm almost from Georgia. I've been here
29 years. Maybe it's
round up to being
maybe
from
it's
here.
Being born, maybe it's being born here. Tamika?
Tuna in a can. I mean, what a waste. You know, I'll have it ahi style, seared. And then, you know, when I think of the South, I think of Georgia, I think of soul food, and I think of fried fish.
That's right.
Which I like as well.
The brown plate special is what we get, right? The hush puppies, fried shrimp, fried chicken.
Hector?
It's cheap. The taste is bad. The texture is disgusting. I mean, the Japanese have had so many appealing ways. I mean, I'm vegetarian, and I would respect what the Japanese do.
Somebody's
with tuna.
Kashi didn't go down the right way this morning. Exactly.
Wait, but you didn't have anything nice to say about tuna salad either.
It's horrible. It's a waste.
But I wasn't embittered about it. I was just saying fried chicken.
I'm not embittered. I just think it's horrible.
All right. We need to hear from the listeners, because what is it? Why do you hate tuna salad, except for Sumaya? You know how to reach us on Twitter or on Facebook. Let's move on with something that I know a lot of people also hate. President Trump sometimes has some trouble with Twitter.
But I promise I'm done retweeting. I'm ready to buckle down and get to work.
Whoa. I just got retweeted.
By who?
Oops, I did it again.
Okay, from the president to our own Atlanta mayor, Kasim Reed, some politicians have a reputation for blocking, especially journalists, on Twitter. A federal appeals court says, though, the First Amendment's free speech clause says office holders, public office holders, cannot block social media users for their views. So, do we think that's true? Do we think a politician should be allowed to block you on Twitter, or no?
Well, Kasim Reed was trying to block Maria Saporta earlier this week as well.
So he's not just
using social media. He's using old-fashioned press to try to intimidate. I would use that as a word. But, I mean, you know, I see a lot of folks that will brag about being blocked on Twitter by Kasim Reed or other officials. Should you be able to do it? I think it's okay if somebody's literally trolling and just annoying and doing a lot of things, especially if it's run by a government entity. If that's the piece, then it can be blocking legitimate citizens from trying to get an issue put out in the public sphere. So I don't see a big problem with it if somebody's being abusive.
I think open expression and freedom of speech is important. And I agree that, you know, they shouldn't block people with different viewpoints or reporters, except if the content is threatening or violent.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. The court is correct. I mean, if you were an elected official, you're beholden to your constituents. It's social media. I mean, it's not the rest of your life. It's not, you know, where you live or things of that sort. I mean, even if you were in a private sector, then you have the freedom to do it. But even if you do it, you may be alienating your customer base. So, I mean, blocking, I don't think is a good resource for very public figures.
I agree with the court decision. I mean, now when we hear from the president, it's usually on Twitter. And so if somebody's blocked, then that privilege is gone. And I really, really agree with the court.
Well, I mean, they're using anti-social media at some point. Twitter doesn't have any controls over how many handles you can have on it, and Twitter's pretty unique in that. So you can spam somebody, and I think it literally does block people from getting legitimate points across. So I would say if it's abusive behavior, if it's just somebody asking questions or debating whether Kasim Reed should have spent $90,000 visiting South Africa, that's a legitimate point of contention. But if all you're doing is trying to pump up an opponent or something like that, and you're not adding anything fruitful
who's the judge on that? I mean, it's the nature of the beast. I mean, you're dealing with social media.
We're gonna close discussion on that.
Can we come back to
I
want to take us back to the subject that Twitter actually thinks is the most controversial, which is tuna salad. John Stage says one of the best sandwiches in my favorite deli in Chicago is tuna salad on rye with big, thick pieces of bacon. So he thinks that bacon is the cure-all. Edwin Austin Hall says, Georgia, you're doing tuna salad wrong. Try it with red and green onions, extra virgin olive oil, balsamic vinegar, and black pepper.
Oh.
Ash Arnett says, native Georgian, love tuna salad, raised on it by Southern folk. This story is a red herring, maybe from the chicken biz.
They're scheming.
One last tweet here before we move on. Matt says, mayo is the devil. Any tuna, chicken, potato salad should be put in a landfill where it belongs.
That's correct.
So, I'm with him.
Okay, there we go.
Mayo is the devil.
Let's move on to talk about something that even Tom Hanks has been accused of, and that is manspreading.
That was in the papers, and I was accused of manspreading because it looks as though I'm taking up two seats. And hey, internet, you idiot. The train was half empty. It was scattered, you know. Yeah. There's plenty of room.
Okay, a recent very controversial op-ed says men have to spread their legs when they sit down. They need to. This has not gone down particularly well with people either on airplanes or crowded trains. Must men do that? Wait, we have to start with the men. Hector?
Yeah, what space on planes? There's no space between the seats, for one. And subways, if you manspread, you're going to get hurt, or you're going to hurt somebody. So it makes no sense at all. The only place left anymore for manspreading, perhaps, is the movie theaters. That's about it.
Or maybe your couch at home. Can we still manspread
there?
Well,
that's private. Okay. So, I mean, you can do whatever you want there.
I think we're talking about public places.
Okay. I was about to say, as long as they're not invading the home with this new diatribe. But, I mean, to Hector's point, have you flown coach lately? There's no...
Yeah.
I mean, men have been taught that they don't have to manspread anymore if you fly coach, so...
Well, I fly a lot, and that is an issue. The good thing is that I have very, excuse me, very short legs.
Well, you get a little drink of water there, Tamika.
I'm not ready to accept that men have an anatomical right to take up more space than women. Nope, not going for it.
Yeah, and there's just places where, I mean, okay, I get that maybe sometimes you feel you need to, but then you're forced. I mean, you're literally, if it's a crowded subway, taking up someone else's space.
Territorial on the subway if you're traveling with a spouse and you just want to make sure she's got her comfort zone too. So I think it can be a territorial thing, a tribal thing, if you will.
Wait, how are you protecting your spouse by
because
you're
you have
your
that
legs?
Extra area. She can put her purse down. There's a lot of reasons for having that extra room on the subway.
Yeah, I'm not gonna give up. I'm not gonna stand so that she has a place to
put
her purse.
Oh no, I would. Of course.
You mean on a crowded, crowded
on a non-crowded,
a normal subway, that people actually use. There's no space for manspreading.
I was about to say, if you ride MARTA and there's plenty of space on MARTA. So Tom Hanks, was he in Atlanta during this fiasco?
I don't know, but I. That, you know, it is different. I mean,
try New York. No space for man spreading.
Or even D.C. All right. Yeah. Commuting to D.C. on the train, there's not any space, and that becomes very upsetting.
Well, what I was saying is I have very short legs, and I travel a lot, so that's a good thing. If somebody does that, then I kind of pull my legs together and suffer for the rest of the flight.
You do. You don't. You don't tap on their leg and ask them to move their leg?
Yeah. I mean, I give all kinds of indirect hints, but most of them don't get it.
So Maya, passive aggressive. Tamika,
open your mouth and speak up. That's
so you will say, move your leg.
I will say, can you? I need a little bit more space here. Can you help me out?
Okay, there's one way. All right, let's ask our two gentlemen. If you did accidentally manspread and you were invading someone else's space, what's the best way for someone to tell you that?
I'd just say, look, is there an extra room on that seat? I mean, that's what I could do. Or you can just turn your iPod up really loud and glare at me. I'll get the hint.
Yeah. Hey, I've tried that. It doesn't work.
It's a matter of plain courtesy.
It would totally work with me.
Or you can take your foot and keep tapping theirs.
No.
That's a signal to the airport for something else.
These people, I mean, you gotta be considered for your neighbors.
Don't try to do that in Hartsfield in the men's bathroom.
Yeah, we went from passive aggressive to just aggressive. It is Friday. We are hanging out in the break room just ahead. IMAX 3D movies may be a thing of the past, and the Mooch is already. That is next from On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought. We are having some coffee and conversation in the break room, as we do every Friday. My guests today are Hector Fernandez of Georgia State University, Sumaya Khalifa, of the Executive Director of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta, Greg Williams, host of the radio show Greg's List, and Tamika the Priest is Senior Director of Marketing at Emory University. All right. Such a sad parting, right? Moochie, we hardly knew ya.
Just this afternoon, I was shocked by this breaking nooch.
The mooch is out.
The mooch is toast.
He said he was gonna fire everybody, and I gotta admit, he delivered.
In spite of some big threats, Anthony Scaramucci spent a brief but memorable, right? 10 days as Donald Trump's communications director. Listen, he sold his business. He missed the birth of his child for the sake of his new job. He gave an interview that we all hope is one of a kind. And it turns out his wife is divorcing him. So, you know, that's giving up a lot for a job that lasted a short period of time. My question for you is, what was the shortest time you've ever worked at a job? Anyone can beat 10 days?
I worked in a bird seed factory in college for 3 days to raise money to go to Panama City Beach on spring break.
That's pretty
good.
Three days.
We said, take this bird seed and shove it when we walked off and threw our hard hats down. And
hope it paid well.
Anybody else can beat 10 days?
No.
I did two months.
I was at three.
I know. I said anybody else.
Okay.
Yeah. Nah. No, Mine was five months.
Five months.
Wow. Yeah, I worked That's for Minnesota shortest. Mining and manufacturing. Right before I went to graduate school.
3M, nice.
Mine was about the same amount of time, and it was actually in a small coffee shop that served hot items. And about the ninth day in, I decided this is not for me. I also had not been performing well. And so either I was going to be asked to leave or I had to ask myself to leave. And so I quit. I fired myself.
Well, Mooch was escorted out, reports say, of the White House. Sumaya, what was your shortest job?
I used to sell Owen Mills portraits over the phone. And I did that for 2 months. And it was just like killing me. And it was like 4 hours a day while I was going to college. And it was just like one of those jobs that I'm so glad I did, but I'm glad I'm not doing it anymore.
I bet there's a lot. All right. So here's the thing. We want to hear from listeners about the job you did, but are so glad you're not doing anymore. You can call us at 404-500-9457 or find us on social media. Okay. Last month, the campus carry law finally took effect.
Should you be allowed to carry a gun on your campus? Really? You are college students, and you are known for getting wasted and doing stupid things. And you want guns?
All right. Less than a month since campus carry became legal, a Kennesaw State student was robbed of his gun while on campus. So do we think there's going to be further wrinkles with this policy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I anticipate something, unfortunately, a lot worse. And when it happens, not if it happens, when it happens, I just hope our legislators, you know, are willing to be honest enough to face the consequences of their actions.
Bad policy, bad idea to sanction guns on campus. I mean, even research, if you look at some of the research, it says that in instances where, you know, individuals, people get guns for protection, that what happens is actually not using the gun for protection against someone else, but sort of self-inflicted injuries or unintended injuries.
There are a lot of those, yes.
And so the whole get a gun to protect yourself doesn't always work.
Well, the most important part of that story was the they failed to mention whether or not he was legally licensed to carry that. And just a little bit myth-busting today, the you have to be 21 years old to be able to get a concealed carry permit. So not every 18-year-old kid is going to be able to run around legally carrying a firearm on college campus. So you have to go through a pretty rigorous background check to even carry concealed, and you have to be over 21. There's a lot of rules that have to
be
put
in place. Right,
so.
His defense was he wasn't concealing that he
just left it in his car.
He wasn't concealed.
Right, so carrying. They didn't say if he was legally able to bring it on the campus. So because you still have to have a license to be able
right,
to
right, you
that.
Need a license, but he didn't need to be 21.
Right, regardless, if you ask campus police. You know, the police for, you know, state universities, they were all against this bill.
Yeah. And not just state, even the private.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it brings nothing home.
Yeah, it's less about this particular incident as, you know, that's important for the Kennesaw State University Police as it is about, you know, whether or not this might cause more problems.
It's only bad waiting to be happen.
Exactly.
In all fairness,
all the universities were against it. They were not the ones.
Well, that should say something, right?
Okay, so let's move on to an age-old controversy. Georgia and Gone with the Wind. Will they ever be separated?
As God is my witness, they're not going to lick me. I'm going to live through this, and when it's all over, I'll never be hungry again.
Business Insider compiled a list of the most famous books out of every state. Not surprisingly, Gone with the Wind. It's never lost that top spot for Georgia. But let's say Gone with the Wind didn't exist. Let's say it was gone with the wind. What book would you choose to be our most famous book?
I will go find it.
You're not giving up that easily.
It must be lost in a fire. But how about Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil?
That's a good nomination.
Based in Savannah, a movie was made about it. It's the subject of a lot of ghost tours in the area. And it was filmed there before we had our generous film tax credits. So
true.
Yes, I like that one too. The one, though, I had on my list is Where Do We Go From Here? By Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay.
Good choice. The Heart is a Lonely Hunter by Carson McCullers.
Great book.
Which is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful book.
Yes.
And the state should celebrate McCullers a lot more than it does.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is a great point.
All
right.
I'm going to have to check it out.
If you're just joining us, we are in the break room with us. You just heard Hector Fernandez of Georgia State University, also Greg Williams of the radio show Greg's List, Tamika DePriest of Emory University, and Sumaya Khalifa of the Islamic Speakers Bureau. And let's move on. Let's talk about license plates, shall we? Georgia is considering, it's up for consideration, to get rid of those little decals that you get in the mail that show that your registration is current for that year. If they do get rid of them, it could save the state millions of dollars. But what might it cost, maybe? Why not adopt the European idea? You know, they use the same tag for the entire life of a particular car. So what do we think here? We pro or con eliminating these stickers?
Absolutely pro. I think it just gives the police a lot more of an excuse to pull people over for non-incidents. And I think if they eliminate that, you're going to see a lot less you know, random pullovers, and I'm sure the statistics will show that it overwhelmingly picks on minorities, that practice of, I mean, I don't have the data on that, but
to say about
I would,
that. I mean, okay. I'm all pro, you know, the decals going the way of the dodo. But, I mean, any modern police car with all the equipment they have, all they have to do is merely...
Yeah, they don't need the sticker.
You know, they don't need the sticker. They just read the plate, and they can't tell you even, you know, the brand of your underwear. So,
wait,
I mean,
what?
So as well,
wait, let's go back to the underwear.
There are some invasive tactics, apparently.
Well, that's my metaphor.
They're not
right?
Superman. They can't see through things.
The point is, profiling with minorities is not going to end if you remove the stickers. But the stickers, if removing them saves money for the state, hey, I'm all for it.
And also wear lead underwear, I guess.
It's a good workout.
I'm all for it going away. I mean, I agree with Hector. The technological advances really make it unnecessary and a non-issue. I do wonder, though, what will be the benefit of the cost savings. Like, okay, so what are we going to spend this $20 million sort of cost savings and purse
fixing the potholes
on? Maybe? Now, that... would be. I would vote for that. That would be a great
repurposing
idea.
To pothole refurbishing.
I think it's just looking at that savings up front, but what is it going to cost for the police? I don't believe that it's going to bring down the random picking up, because now when they see somebody of color or whatever, then they're more likely to stop them just to check out and make sure that they're not violating anything.
I mean, I think the opposite, because I've been pulled over for my tag having been expired. And so I think it just gives an easy excuse. I mean, if they... You know, of course they can put in the license plate and check if it's stolen. They can do that anyway. But this, being able to look and see a registration's off is a no-brainer for a lot of them.
Your tag was expired?
It was not expired, but they that's what he said it was.
Lawbreaker. All right. Let's talk about...
I got off.
Let's talk about movies next. Christopher Nolan's new summer blockbuster, Dunkirk, opened last week in IMAX.
The call went out. We have to go to Dunkirk. Ready on the stern line.
What are you doing? You know where we're going.
Into war, George.
I'll be useful, sir.
One of ours.
Okay, it opened in IMAX, but not in 3D. In fact, the movie's being shown in a variety of 6 different formats, none of them three-dimensional. One theater in Atlanta is showing the 70mm version. But Hollywood Bean Counters say people are getting tired of 3D, especially on giant screens. So what do we think? Are you guys sick of 3D movies?
Totally sick of 3D. I mean, I dislike it. I have glasses.
Yes.
I've always felt it's an imposition of the industry. Doesn't add anything to the quality of the experience. I would love to see like David Lean films on 70mm, like a huge screen. They look beautiful, or Hitchcock for that matter.
You know, I agree with Hector. It's very hard to see a 3D film with my glasses on. It's horrible.
Well, I'm wearing glasses in the studio as well. And, you know, the first thing I thought was, will someone please make a pair of 3D glasses that are cool and that fit over glasses that people already have to wear?
They don't exist.
Well, most of the movies that come out have the non-3D aspect. I like the 3D movies that are actually filmed in 3D, not the ones that are transitioned after the post-production. Because the ones that are actually filmed in 3D, those look amazing. And, I mean, yes, you pay an upcharge. Yeah, you got to wear dorky glasses for a couple hours. But back to Dunkirk, Christopher Nolan is the director on that, and he refuses to film anything in 3D or make any 3D pictures. So I think that that's probably the explanation as to why Dunkirk...
It'll save some of us a headache.
Yes.
I think it was Consumer Reports that said at least 15% of those have had headache experiences related to just the 3D.
You learn something
option.
New every day.
You
know,
Greg, you don't wear glasses either.
My glasses are the thickest you've ever seen. They can
if you
put them on, you'd be able to see the future. That's how thick
it is. It's not a matter of being a Luddite or anything. It's just technology that is not appropriate for a good percentage of the population.
And they have the option to not go. It's like that TV show you hate. Don't watch it.
Well, it's only a minority that goes for 3D.
Before this denigrates any further, I want to read a couple tweets. I want read a couple tweaks of things we've talked about. First of all, a couple responses to the question of what was the shortest job you've ever had. DJ Wilkerson says, the shortest job I ever held was 2 hours at a restaurant. I made them pay me, even though minimum wage at the time was $1.65 an hour. Right. And Kathy Lohr says, shortest job, 2 weeks at McDonald's, just enough to save for a plane ticket. What I remember most is greasy floors.
Hey, Kathy.
All right, now, the most downloaded app is one I had not heard of, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, but Saraha.
Right.
It allows people to send feedback to other users, but there's no option to reply to those comments, and there's no identification of the sender. It has picked up a huge following, but given what we know about bullying on the internet, is making it easier to be anonymous our best policy?
Kasim Reed's already blocked this app.
Nah. Talk about our precedent and spirit of the times. It's bullying. Yeah, definitely. If you wish to criticize anybody, the least you should be able to share is authorship.
Yeah,
it's cowardice.
If you're not going to take accountability for things you put out in the public sphere, then it is the epitome of cowardice. And I'm sure this is just, 90% of these things are going to be mean or non-constructive. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just asking for people
the biggest adopters are very young people.
I think this...
Ooh, that makes it really scary.
Yes, yeah. And I think this Saraha.
Say it again, Sumaya.
Saraha.
That. Yeah. Those folks need to talk to the Yik Yak people. The Yik Yak app was a app that allowed anonymous comments, and it was geared toward college age students.
Yeah.
And they have experienced you don't even know what
Yik Yak. Never heard of it,
and that's how quickly it died. Mm-hmm. So I think those folks should get together and have a conversation with them.
It's almost like unsolicited 360 feedback.
Yeah.
It's really, why would anybody do that?
Because this is the age of
attention.
No accountability and lots of attention.
Yeah. I'm old-fashioned. I just set up a fake Twitter handle if I want to troll somebody.
Thinking about kids in junior high.
Isn't
they're
cowardice
brutal.
Cowardice because you're not down.
I think it's called being facetious. But cowardice, facetious,
So we actually found something on which everyone agrees. We would all get rid of Saraha.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, so it's nice
before it goes away on its own.
It's like
save some money, if you will.
One of those Schedule I drugs, there's no medicinal purpose for it.
Before somebody gets hurt.
That's right, that's right.
Surprisingly enough, we have ended the break room on not only A, on agreement, but B, with a minute to spare. So since we have a minute, I want to go back to tuna salad.
All right.
If the three of you really don't like tuna salad so much, what do you replace it with?
Fried chicken salad.
Oh,
fried chicken.
No, something healthy.
Fried chicken is very healthy.
Wait, but if you're going to have tuna salad or chicken salad, you're not looking for something healthy, are you?
Especially with ranch on top.
There's something healthy that can taste, fine.
Can you put ranch on it? I know you're a mayo, not a big mayo fan. Is ranch cool with you?
I'm vegetarian. No. I'm vegetarian, so... Not vegan.
Ranch would not be cool with me, and if it's got to be in salad form, I just like to have it on a bed of greens and, with a few other nice
Me too, but I'm from California, so I've heard that.
You had somebody tweet about a good recipe, and that's the recipe I use. Olive oil, lemon, and onions.
Hey, that sounds great.
It's delicious.
No mayonnaise?
Balsamic vinegar,
Oh, okay, I'll have to try that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are out of the time in the break room now. I want to say thank you to all my guests, Tamika DePriest, Senior Director of Marketing at Emory University. Greg Williams is host of the conservative radio show Greg's List and a mortgage banker. Hector Fernandez, professor at Georgia State University, and Sumaya Khalifa, executive director of the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Atlanta. Thank you, everybody.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
That's it for today's show. There are so many things that you can talk to us about if you'd like to. We talked about manspreading. We, of course, talked about tuna salad and also the shortest job you've ever had. So get back to us. Let us know your thoughts. You can reach us on Facebook or Twitter or call us and leave a message the old-fashioned way at 404-500-9457. For today and the week, that's on Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great weekend.